Okay. It was a nice lunch, wasn't it? Oh, you're welcome. Before we begin, someone left their sunglasses out at the registration table. Look familiar to anybody? Come on down.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was Mary. She brought it to my attention. Yeah. Okay, we all set? So we are, on page 12, the healing ministry of others. So it's telling us that Jesus came not only to bring the kingdom and heal people, but he came to equip others to do what he did. The church is commissioned to pray for the sick. And like we said earlier this morning, remember I was talking to you about the reason you're here and how each one of us, you know, has been called to be here. You know, you're here. You might have thought it sounded like a good idea. You might have thought, well, I'll just check it out. But really, you're here because you decided on this hot summer day in June, the weekend previous to the 4th of July, to give this time over. And you know, whenever you give time over to the Lord, he gives so much back to us in return, doesn't he? When we put time aside to just be with him, to pray, to hear his word, to be with other people that we can share Jesus with. So remember that, you know, he who he calls, he, capital H, calls, he equips. So the Lord, you know, don't feel overwhelmed. You know, one step at a time, and the Lord is equipping you even now as we're speaking. So Jesus transferred, that's how he multiplied his ministry. He transferred his ministry to others after he modeled it. And that is what we do here at St. Patrick's. It's kind of like a show and tell. You know, remember show and tell when your kids were in school and they say, I have to take something in for show and tell, and they take it in and show it and talk about it. You all remember that? I taught for 30 years, so I'm still doing show and tell with my little granddaughter, who's up in Manhattan. They have, she's in preschool, and they have what they call mystery reader. And so she don't know you're coming, you know, and whenever I'm up there, which is frequent, I schedule time with them, and I go in and she's surprised and take a book, and then we do, I know. I love it. And, that's what I did for so many years, So we do that here, show and tell, meaning, you know, we show people how to pray. In other words, let's make it real simple. Let's say I'm going to pray with somebody, and we have someone else who really wants to get involved in the healing ministry, or maybe a couple people who want to. And I would say to that person, would you mind if some other people came in while I'm praying with you just to observe? And if that person said, well, no, I'm really not comfortable with that, then we wouldn't do it. But if that person said, sure, that's fine. You know, it's kind of like when you're in a teaching hospital and your doc comes in and he brings on all these other men and women in, you know, who are the interns who are learning. It's kind of that type of thing. But it's the fact that we all need to see how it's done, observe how it's done. And this isn't on the paper, but I'm going to take time to share this with you because this keeps coming back to my mind. And back in the 70s, my husband and I were part of a wonderful Catholic charismatic prayer community. It was called the Community of the Abiding Presence. And it was a great community because it was so diverse. There were a couple priests there. There were brothers there. There were nuns there. There were a lot of men, women, married couples. You know, it was just a very nice, friendly group. So anyway, at my church, at St. Thomas More in Herb's church, people came and talked about people that, you know, really were operating in the power of the Holy Spirit and all. And this particular group was one of the groups, and we went to check it out. Well, anyway, long story short, we became part of that. And the people there thought that that I should explore the gift of healing. They thought that they saw that, you know, they felt that I had a gift and it needed to be, you know, matured. So there was a priest at the time. His name was Francis McNutt. And he was a Catholic priest, and he is really responsible for bringing healing to the Catholic Church through the laity. Up until then, it was mainly priests. So anyway, he was doing this kind of show and tell thing up in Philadelphia, and so I went, and it was just a small group of us that were there with him. And he connected to a parish, and people from the parish would come and receive prayer. And we would sit right with him and watch and see what happened and learn from that. And I'll never forget it. It's something I think that has driven my ministry, just having seen this. There was a lady that came, and she had on her arm, she had a tumor on her arm, and it was raised, you know, it was easy to see, let's put it that way. She said she had been getting prayer and so forth, and nothing was happening, and that it was a malignant, there had been a biopsy, and it was malignant. So anyway, he laid his hand on the tumor, and he started praying, and he was praying in the Holy Spirit. And those of us who were there were also praying in the Holy Spirit, which is, we talked about this before, that's the gift of tongues. And nothing happened. And then he said, okay, you know, can you up for some more prayer? So a long story short, we prayed for about 45 minutes for this person. And after about 45 minutes, the tumor started to decrease. I actually saw it. I mean, it was like amazing. I'd never seen anything like that before. But I actually saw it decreasing. And after an hour, she left, and there was no tumor on her arm. It was completely healed. Now, I know that's unusual. I mean, I haven't really seen that since, like that, done like that right away. But it was completely healed. And he told her to make sure that, you know, there's no cancer or anything left in lymph nodes or anything like that. And then he had gotten back to all of us saying, you know, it was no cancer, everything completely cancer-free. It was completely gone. So if you're ever doubting, is Jesus really doing this today? I'm here to tell you, I saw it. He is. I mean, he is. This was back in the 70s when I first saw this. And that was the kind of show and tell thing that we're talking about. You know, I watched what he did. I watched how he did it. I watched the woman, because when you're praying with somebody, you always want to keep your eyes open. You know, some people tend to close their eyes. No, you want to keep your eyes open so you can see what the Lord's doing. So you can see how that person's being affected or not affected, you know, by the prayer. So I just share that, like we're talking about here, how the ministry is transferred, how Jesus multiplied his ministry, and just as a witness that I saw and shared. And I know it certainly, every time I think about it, it builds up my faith. You know, when sometimes you do get discouraged if you don't see healing right away, you don't always see healing right away, but it is happening. And the more we pray with people, the more healing we will see. Always remember that. The more you pray, the more you'll see. So Jesus chose the 12 with the purpose that they be with him, and he showed them, just like I'm saying, like Father McNutt showed us how to do it, and then he sent them forth. He sent them out. He sent them, always sent them out two by two, and that's what we do here at St. Patrick's. We believe in certainly the scriptural model, and so our prayer teams would be two by two, you know. Because then there's also more gifts that are available to be used when there's two people. You know, one of us might not have all the gifts, or certainly do not have all the gifts, but then the other person will. Together, when we put it all together, we have it all. And that's what we want to bring to people, isn't it? So, as it says, his method was show and tell. He showed them how to pray for the sick, and then he talked to them about it. And that's exactly what we do here. We show and then talk about it. We're doing similar to that this morning as far as discussing it and talking about it. So this is like the first big giant step towards that. Jesus gave his ministry to committed people. Now, what do we mean by that? We mean people that really feel that the Lord is calling them to pray for the sick, but also Most importantly, people that are committed to him. See, it says that under there. Jesus gave his ministry to committed people, committed to him. People that have a relationship with Jesus. People that that know the word of God, that spend some time. We're not saying, you know, you read it cover to cover, but that each day there's some time spent allowing the Lord to speak to you through his scriptures, through his word, being open. Remember the lady this morning when she heard and then she herself talked, but then she reached out and received. You know, we need to reach out and receive too, just like the disciples did, all that he has for us. Because if we want to be equipped by him, then we receive what he has to give us. And that can be a stumbling block for a lot of people. Some people think, well, I don't really need this and I don't really need that. And I'm not saying you have to have it all or you need to have all the gifts. I'm telling you just my own personal feeling. Whatever the Lord has for me, I want it. Whatever gifts he has that are going to help me to minister more fully to his people, I want them. Whether it seems strange to me, and some of them did in the beginning, or whether it doesn't, I want to be an open vessel. I want the gifts that Jesus has. I mean, you know, if Jesus walked in now with a beautiful box, a gift wrapped, would you say, oh, no, I don't like that gift. I don't want to do that. I'm not comfortable with that gift. You know, or are we going to take it and receive it? So I say that as a word of encouragement. Personally, my feeling is if he's got it to give, I want it. I want it. I remember in the 70s, there were a lot of Life in the Spirit seminars happening where you would be prayed with for the baptism of the Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit. And I remember this was at St. Thomas More, and I remember the night we were being prayed with, these couple guys said to me, okay, Pat, what gift do you want? I said, I want them all. I said, we've never prayed for that before. I said, no, I want them all. I mean, why wait? Why, you know, if you're going to go out and touch people in their deepest need, if you're going to allow people to share what's deep within their heart with you and what's happened to them and their whole truth, you need, I feel, I needed all that the Lord had to bring to me, all those gifts, like the gift of tongues, like the gift of prophecy, like the word of knowledge that we're going to talk about in a little bit. So it's, think about it. I challenge you to think about it that way. So we need to be committed to him. He called forth people from various backgrounds, not always the top-notch people in the church, you know. He took people from all walks of life and called them to himself. He developed leadership and character with them. All of these things is what we need to do as a parish, as a faith community, and as a healing ministry. The 70 and 72 were a wider group of disciples. He trained them after he trained the 12. So you might say, well, in my church, we don't have that many people. Look what he did with 12. Look what he did with 12. And they multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. So it's not about having a whole bunch of numbers. It's about having people committed to the Lord with a desire to serve him, with a heart for the sick and the broken, and people that are willing to reach out and receive what he has for us. And then after he did all that, he gave his healing ministry to the church. He gave it to you. He gave it to me. He gave it to brothers and sisters from various backgrounds in various churches. So Jesus gave, if you see number two there, Jesus gave spiritual gifts to those he trained. He gave them authority to minister. You know, we have in ourselves, we do not have authority, but we have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, we have the authority of Jesus behind us. So he gave that authority. Just like if you pull out and you get pulled over by a police officer, that police officer represents the law. In himself, he does not have authority, but because of who he represents, right? He does have authority, and it's just like us. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we have the authority of Jesus Christ. So now I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And this is correct this time. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. And this is talking about the gifts, where we see here that how he gave spiritual gifts to those that he trained. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So the manifestation, that means the Holy Spirit manifests himself. Manifest means he shows himself. It's like almost like a validation, a proof of the Holy Spirit. He does that for the profit of all, for all of us to have our faith built up, for all of us to know the full power of the Holy Spirit. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Holy Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So those gifts are gifts you may have been exposed to at one time or another. If you were at a healing mass, a healing service, and someone may say, we feel there's somebody here that has bad pain in their back, and the Lord really wants to heal that. And then that person would come forth for prayer. Like that's a word of knowledge. Now, when that happens, some people feel like, well, you know, like that's all that's getting healed tonight. No, that just means, what that means is that we believe in faith that there's a special anointing for that particular ailment at that particular time. Everything else is still open for prayer. Everything else the Lord works in and works through. But it's just that there's someone there that has had tested gifts and word gifts that is saying that. And so it encourages someone with that problem to come forth. Okay. To another, he gives faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. The same Spirit, of course, being the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. That would have been what I saw. I consider that a miracle when I saw that tumor completely disappear. To another, prophecy. Prophecy is when a person speaks the word of God. Basically, the word that they feel the Lord is giving them to speak to the group gathered at that time. Prophecy always validates the Holy Scriptures. Prophecy never condemns. Prophecy doesn't, it's not like, it doesn't predict the future. Prophecy is to affirm people, to build people up in faith, and to bring God's word and God's love to them. Okay? The scriptures that we read, that's the Logos word. There's a word called the Rhema word. The Rhema word is a personal word for you. It would be like in a prophecy you might hear, boy, that really speaks to me. You know, that's a word that the Lord's bringing to me. Or if somebody's praying with you and they say, you know, I think the Lord wants you to know such and such. That would be like a prophecy for you to build you up, to let you know that the Lord is with you, to let you know that he wants you to hear his voice, to let you know that you're not alone in whatever it is you're dealing with. Okay, to another, discerning of spirits, and to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. So the discerning of spirits is just what it says. Sometime you may be in a situation where you feel a discomfort, you feel ill at ease about whatever is being said or whoever you're talking to. That could be a gift of the Holy Spirit, meaning that the discernment of spirits. And the gift of tongues is another way of praying. It's another form of prayer. The scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit prays through us when we don't know how to pray as we should. If you've ever been in a situation where you need to pray, but you really don't know what to ask for, you don't know what to ask the Lord for regarding this situation, the gift of tongues is a way of surrendering the smallest member of your body, which is your tongue, to the Holy Spirit and letting him pray through you to God, our Heavenly Father. That's how the scriptures define the gift of tongues. It is, it's a wonderful gift when you don't know how to pray as you should. It's a wonderful gift when you're ministering to people, whether you do it audibly, like I always say to a person, are you comfortable with me praying in tongues? 9 times out of 10, they say, sure, of course. Sometimes people aren't comfortable, then I don't do it. But I would still do it in my own heart where they're not hearing it because, and I'll tell you how it helps me, because I'm able to hear the Lord when I'm praying that way. When I'm trying to think what I'm going to say and articulate your words and, you know, with how you're talking to people, it's difficult for me to hear the Lord's voice at the same time. But when I don't have to do that and I can just surrender to the Holy Spirit, then I'm able to hear the voice of the Lord that enables me to be able to pray in a more effective way and in the Lord's way for that person, or pray the way I need to pray for whatever I'm interceding for. So I know there's a lot of talk amongst a lot of people about it, but I'm just telling you, this is my personal experience, this is what it's meant to me, and I would really encourage you to think about it, pray about it, read about it, and go from there. Interpretation of tongues is something that when a group is gathered, let's say we're gathered here, and we're going to have a worship service, and we're praying in the Holy Spirit, and we're praying spontaneous prayer. And let's say I felt like the Lord really wants to speak. He really wants to say something to this group. So I would pray out, just me, in tongues. And what happens then is we all get quiet because we listen then for what's the Lord have to say. And then someone else in the group, one of you, would feel like, well, I think the Lord wants to say such and such. And you would say it. And so it isn't that the tongue is translated. It's that it's interpreted. So it's not a translation. It's an interpretation. And it oftentimes, you know, brings that, as I talked about, that rhema word, you know, to the people gathered. So these are the gifts we're talking about. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individual. So those are the gifts that in our teaching here that we see how Jesus gave his ministry to those that were committed to him, and he also gave spiritual gifts to those who he trained. So why did he do that? Because he knew we would need them. Because he knew that in order to do the work that he's calling us to do, we need his gifts. We need gifts in the spiritual realm, you know, in order to really reach out and be able to and be fully equipped. This is all part of being equipped. The Holy Spirit is our helper and our instructor. So we want to be close to the Holy Spirit. We want to be as much filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we all were confirmed. But the Lord has more for us, more of the Holy Spirit, you know, more of his power, more of his love. It's just not over with confirmation. Confirmation opens the door to the Holy Spirit. But then there's more and more as we grow, as we mature, as we're called forth to minister, as we come to know the Lord in a personal way, as we're able to recognize his voice, if we're willing to submit to him, even at times when we don't fully understand, you know, we need, that's what we need, and that's how we can be fully equipped. What were the effects of this by the church in the world? Well, with the 12 sent out, it was then 70 to 72. More people then were sent forth two by two, and more people were reached. The kingdom of God came through the 12 and the 70, 72, and could restore and free more people. And that's why we're here today, isn't it? We're here today because we know, we all know of people. We all know people in our families. We all know maybe in our own bodies, in our own spirits, in our own souls, things that need to be healed. People in our parishes, people in small groups. You know, the more we become one with one another, the more we become united in the Holy Spirit, the more we trust one another, the more we trust, the more we're able to share just exactly where we are, and the more we're able to bring to one another the whole truth, just like we heard this morning with the woman in Mark, just like the woman with the hemorrhage, because there's more to us than the pain we have. There's more to us than a disease that was diagnosed, you know, and the Lord wants to touch that more. But then we need to bring it to him. And oftentimes, he uses one another. That's how oftentimes how we bring it to him. And so that's why healing prayer teams are important. That's why we're here learning about this. That's why we're going to continue to learn about it, because it can absolutely change people's lives and bring them into a fuller life. And then what they receive, the beautiful part is that what they receive, then they want to pass it on. They want to then be that instrument, be those hands, be that word, you know, be those feet to travel to people that really need him and need his help. So, okay, let's see where we are now. So right now, okay, that was the healing ministry of others. We have a discussion time. So basically, this is for all of you, you know, like in each of your tables, you've all formed little small groups. So to discuss what you've heard, you know, either what we just talked about, either what Father Dale talked about, either the lady with the hemorrhage, whatever it is that touched you. You know, that touched you, or that you feel you need to grow in, or that you feel you want to know more about, it's time to talk about it and discuss it. Okay? So we'll take, 15 minutes. We'll take 15 minutes to do that, and then we'll be coming back with another teaching. Thank you.